Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. I hope you're enjoying your evening, as now we have crossed paths into 2022. Let's see what this year has in store for us. Your eyes this, your eyes that, it never ends. My mom has always said that my eyes are so beautiful, and that she wishes she could have had them herself. I never understood it. I mean, yeah, my eye color is unique, but it's not as beautiful as she makes it out. The color of my eyes is a brilliant sea green, if you're wondering. I've always wondered how exactly I had sea green eyes, as none of my relatives have ever had green eyes. My mom said that it must be magic, and I had believed that until I reached sex ed. I'm also male, so I guess that adds to the rarity of my mysterious green eyes. I woke up on a dull gray sky. It's like it's looming over me, just waiting to fill my day with a bunch of bad and negative thoughts. I can't though, as today is my 18th birthday. I get out of my bed, dress myself, and head downstairs. My mom, even though she's single, has no other children, decorated just for me. As I am heading downstairs, I see my mom meeting my gaze. She was standing by the landing. Oh, how I love my mom for going out of her way to still decorate for me even though I'm 18. "Happy birthday, sweetie," she says. "Thanks, Mom," I say, as I go in to hug her out of love. She hugs me back, and for some reason, I feel the most loved I had ever felt all year. "I made you your favorite," she tells me as we head to the kitchen. "Really?" I ask her. "Yes," she says with a smile that's a mix of her being proud of making it and her being excited for my smile while I eat it. As I head into the kitchen, I could see it. A glorious stack of pancakes and waffles with syrup drizzling down it, with a single slice of butter on top. Me and my mom sit down at the table and immediately begin to eat together. "Thank you so much, Mom. This really means a lot," I tell her. "Don't worry about it. It's your 18th birthday and I want it to be special." Now, you're probably sitting there confused as to why pancakes and waffles would make me this happy. And to be honest, I really don't know. They just do. My mom got me 3 amazing things for my birthday, but the main thing she got me was a graphics tablet. "Thank you so much, Mom," I tell her with so much joy in my voice that it's almost hard to talk. "Happy 18th, sweetie," she says. I asked her if we could go to the movies to watch whatever new movie is currently out, and she replies with a yes. This birthday has been the best birthday I've had in a while. We arrive at the movies, got our tickets, purchased some popcorn and a drink, and we went to watch Joker. Nearly halfway through the movie, I had to go pee, so I told her I'd be right back, and she just simply said, "Okay, be safe," and I went on my way to the bathroom. I reached the men's bathroom, took my piss, and halfway through my piss, I heard someone else come in. This isn't too odd, I thought. After all, every man has to take a leak. He was in the next urinal beside me. We just peed and we went to wash our hands, me trying to be as quiet as I could be. Then, out of nowhere, he says, "Don't think I'm gay or anything, but you have really nice eyes." Thanks, is all I could really say. "You have really nice eyes too," I tell him, although he could see right through my lie. "You don't need to be fake. You don't need to fake compliment someone just because they compliment you," he tells me. "Oh, all right then," I tell the mysterious man, and me and him leave the restroom. When I get back to the screening room, I don't mention the man to my mom, thinking nothing of it. When we get home, it's nearly 7 p.m. Where did all the time go, I think? My mom says that she has to get up really early tomorrow, so she's going to her room. She told me that I would have the house to myself, but I had to be quiet as to not disturb her. I went into the living room to watch some TV. I went to bed around 1 a.m. Knock, knock. I jolted up scared of what was making that noise. I get a spine-tingling chill when I notice that it's coming from my closet door. Knock, knock. I hear it again. Maybe this is sleep paralysis. No, I could move, and something can also move in my closet. I try to ignore it, but I can't, especially when a blood-curdling voice comes from the closet.
What beautiful eyes you have. Let's trade eyes,
it says. I ignore it, and it gets a little bit louder.
Your magnificently green eyes would look really good on me,
it says. Again, I try to ignore it. It finally goes away, and I get some rest. When I go downstairs the next morning, I ask my mom if she heard anything last night, and she replies with a no. How come you're asking, sweetie? No reason, I replied. I go about my day normally, except when I go on my walk, someone compliments my eyes. You too? I replied. This has all been weird. I get compliments about my eyes every couple of months, but two compliments one day apart from each other. The only time this happens is with my mom. Later in the day, when I go to the store to pick up some stuff for my mom, the cashier says to me that my eyes are wonderfully colored. I don't know how to respond to this one and just say thank you and leave. When I go to bed later, I wake up with the same knocking coming from my closet. My entire body freezes and I don't know what to do. The voice says,
"Come out, let me see your amazing eyes, sweetheart,"
it tells me. But this time, it doesn't stay in the closet and go away. Whatever is in the closet slowly opens the door and came out. It was tall, at least 7'5", with yellow eyes as yellow as the shiniest gold you could ever imagine, and a very thin stature. It was memorizing, to say the least.
"Give me your eyes,"
it says in a low, demanding voice. I slowly got up, fearing that this would run after me. It just looks at me.
"Make one move, and I will hunt you down,"
it told me. I was scared, and my flight-or-flight instinct kicked in, and knowing I couldn't fight this creature myself, I ran. As soon as I opened my bedroom door and started to run, the creature let out a haunting screech, and then ran after me. I got my pair of shoes on as fast as I could without tying them. I ran outside using the smallest door in our house as to slow the creature down. It worked. I got about 30 feet ahead of it and ran into the woods. I'm currently hiding in the treehouse I used to play in when I was a kid. I could hear it in the woods, though. I could hear it speaking. It's saying,
"I will have your eyes,"
over and over again. It's getting closer to the treehouse. It's now saying,
"I know where you are, sweetheart."
I could hear it climbing the ladder. I'll make an update if I get the safety. Goodbye. Part 2. The creature got to the top of the treehouse, and I felt hopeless. "Is this it?" I began to think.
"What beautiful eyes you have. So pretty, so kind, so innocent. They won't stay innocent forever,"
the creature says. I almost accepted what was happening to me, but a little spark inside of me began to build up, like the low fires of someone kindling wood. In that moment in time, my "I need to get out or else I'm dead" instinct kicks in, and I'm so glad that my dad decided to install multiple windows into the treehouse. The creature notices that I begin to slowly move towards one of the windows and begins to charge at me. The treehouse I had was by no means big, but neither what you would consider small. It was the right size. Due to this, I was able to pick up one of the baseball bats I kept near one of the drawers and break a window. I jumped out, not really caring if glass shards got in me or not, but once I hit the ground, all I see is black. When I wake up, my head feels like it has gone to crap, but more importantly, I'm in a room I don't recognize. As my eyes try to adjust to the brightness of the sun coming inside, or at least what I perceive as inside, I realize that I'm in a hospital. God, my head hurts. And holy freaking crap does my mouth feel dry and my stomach empty. No one else is in the room for all I know, so I try to call out with what my throat will let me. Mom? I let out with a scratchy voice. No one answers. I tried again, and this time someone actually opened the door. I get so excited to see my mom, but that's not who I saw. Instead, I got someone who looked to be a doctor. Feeling okay? He asks. Not really. I was able to get out. Well, try not to talk too much because you've been here for about 2 weeks, and we haven't been able to get you to drink anything. We've had to feed you by tube, and due to that, your mouth and throat may be really dry, so try not to talk. Also, don't look around too much because when we found you, something tried getting at your eyes. My coworker joked around saying that it was a monster of the night trying to take your eyes. Stop joking around, I told him, but he didn't seem to care all that much. Oh, and we're going to have to ask you some questions when you're healed, so get some rest. He finished up with a slight smile. I don't want to sound weird or anything, but has anyone ever told you that you have amazing eyes? He asked. I shake my head no, but the same fear had taken over my body again. Well, I'll check back in tomorrow. Wait, where's my mom? I tried to ask. Your mom? Well, you'll know what happens soon enough. He obviously didn't want to say what happened, and he leaves the room faster than a kid who's about to get beaten from their dad. After about 3 days, two of my friends come over, James and Faith. Hey, Preston, James says. How you doing? I'm doing good, thanks. I brought a couple of beers if you want to have some, he says. You don't know how hard it was for me to get this through because I'm not 21 yet, and you can't bring beer into hospitals, so I had to think of a plan to get this through, he whispers into my ear. You shouldn't drink that crap, and neither should you. Faith said. Oh, Faith, my crush since I was in 6th grade. A gorgeous redhead with a fair face, 5'5", and straight hair that runs down her back like a waterfall. Yeah, whatever, James says. So, how about me and you and a couple of beers? Listen, I need to tell you guys something, I say. What is it? Faith and James say simultaneously. I begin to tell them about the whole thing with your eyes. When I was finished with the story, James said, "Hit your head hard, didn't you?" "And what if he didn't?" Faith chimed in. "Then I'll be dating you and we'll be the lead player on campus," he says. They start to have a little argument, but one of the doctors came in and said that I was going to be asked a couple of questions in 30 minutes. I asked them both to leave so I could get ready for the questions. And on their way out, James shakes the pack of beer and winks at me. The next 30 minutes goes by so fast. By the time I have to get questioned, it felt like time had sped up twice as fast just to piss me off. "You're not going to be questioned outside of this room, Mr. Young," the doctor says as I'm about to get out of my bed. I sit back down and wait. A couple of policemen enter the room and begin to ask me questions. How did you fall? Do you remember anything? Why did you run out of the house? Blah, blah, blah. You get the point. But then they ask me something so peculiar I can't help but answer truthfully. What did you see? I stammer. I... Listen, kid. We don't have all day. Okay, well... I saw a person, creature, thing, that was about 7'5" or above and had golden eyes, as if Midas himself had touched them, and it was very tall and thin, lanky, one might say, I answered. The cops all whispered to each other for a while and then asked me, You don't know jack shit, kid, then punched me into a warm yet cool pool of darkness that I knew all too much about. Part 3. I stumbled to my knees looking for where the darkness begins and where it ends. A puddle. What? Water? I thought. I could see everything and at the same time I could see nothing. This is what true darkness is. Shadowed by not fears, because real darkness trumps fear. Real darkness is the fear. Could I be dead? Is this what hell is supposed to be? Just eternal darkness? That I must forever be in? No, that doesn't make sense. I tried to remember everything that had happened up until this point, and I can't remember anything. Well, not exactly anything. I remembered how to breathe. I remembered my birthday. I sure as hell remembered that creature, but for some reason, I can't explain how I got here. What? A door. One door. No wall. Nothing. Just a door. I ran to it, hoping that I'll be able to open it and leave. But as I run, it seems to be the exact same distance as it was before. Then a voice. Shit. It's true. He sees beyond the veil. An unrecognizable voice says that's neither here nor there, far nor close, all around me. This explains what's been going on. Another voice says. I think he's beginning to... Silence. I stumble and fall through a hole. I'm on a skyscraper in New York and see a ton of computer screens looking at my sleeping body, with a ton of wires hooked up to me. I then fall off the skyscraper as I hit the ground. I realize I'm in the hospital the moment where I got hit. I fall through another hole and another. This continues to go on. Until I fell off a hotel, and when I hit the ground, I'm in yet another hospital room, except this time, it's not me getting punched, or anyone for that matter. I see my dad. The moment he died. He beckons my mom over and whispers something in her ear. He hands her a note. I walk over, suspecting they can't see me, and I read the note over my mom's shoulder, who is now beginning to read the note for herself. Dear Preston, I bet you must have a lot of questions about your eyes, who I was, and what I'm doing. Well, here I am to answer them all. Once you turn 18, you will be able to see beyond the veil. Now, what is the veil exactly? Well, the U.S. government created it as sort of a way to test U.S. soldiers in battle without ever having to get hurt physically. Well, the way the veil works is by injecting a serum into your arm, and then you could see past it. The reason you have your eye color is because the serum causes mutations, to say the least. And when I got it injected into my arm, my eyes went from brown to a brilliant sea green. And due to the serum being injected into me, my DNA kind of changed. Which is why, even though you'll only see pictures of me with brown eyes, you have sea green. Now, do not think the veil is a good thing. It is very dangerous, and things have been able to get into it. Be safe. I love you. And as I finished reading the note, the hospital room begins to turn on its side, and a hole that would be on the left wall is going to bring me down. I run to the hospital door, but when I open it, the only thing that I could see is black for miles. I fall through the hole and wake up gasping. Tons of tubes and wires are hooked up to me. Is this real? I thought. I heard the same voice I heard before in the black, horrible space. Except this time, I could hear where it's coming from, and it's not far. Welcome, Preston, to Area 51. I turned my head to where the voice was, to my left. I see the same man that interviewed me before, but this time, he's wearing a lab coat. And he slightly lifts on his lab coat, just enough for me to see the M9 with two magazines on his side of his coat. He didn't even need to speak for me to understand what it meant. It's almost funny because, even though guns can't talk, this one had words to say to me. It was saying to me, "Make a move, and your appointment with the Reaper will be sooner than you want. Now, stay frickin' still, and if you make a move, well, you won't like what happens next," the man said. "Well, I know about the veal," I said. "And you act as if I'm supposed to find that surprising? You don't realize it, do you? I'm the one that allowed you to see what you did. Every time you fall into a hole or off a skyscraper, or got hit by a car, then woke up to be in a new place, that was all me controlling what you're going to see," he said coyly. "In fact, I didn't even show you what was on that letter fully. Here, let me read the rest of it to you, why don't I?" He clears his throat. "I bet you're wondering how I even got the serum for the veal, and that's why I had to commit suicide." "Suicide?" I almost yelled. "Do you mind?" Where was I? Yes. "That's why I had to commit suicide. See, I was an ex-CIA agent, and the CIA does experiments that no human would be able to comprehend. I tortured people, I hurt people, until one day, I decided I would go back to the government for hurting and experimenting on innocent people. People like your mom or your friends. I decided I would unleash a creature known as the Watcher into the veal. And so I did. See, the veal has a mode where everything becomes physical. No longer just you seeing it and not being able to hurt you. I turned the mode on and mysteriously, a ton of my coworkers went disappearing. They tried to find out why, and when they found out it was me, they decided I deserved everything that happened to my coworkers." "You bastards. You frickin' cunts," I interrupted. He again slightly lifted his lab coat just enough for me to see the gun again and said, "I'd bet you'd want me to finish what I've got to say before I shoot you, right? Oh, actually, let's have a little bit of fun once I finish reading this letter to you," he said with an evil grin. "Again, let's start where I finished. And when they found out it was me, they decided I deserved everything that had happened to my coworkers. They pinned me down and I fought them, but I was too weak. They injected the serum into me and said, 'Good luck, cunt,' and stomped onto my chest, breaking a couple of ribs. I laid on the floor in pain until someone found me hours later. It was a woman. She helped me up, and on my way out, I decided to ask her to take her a jar. She helped me up, and on my way out, I decided to ask her to take a jar with her and bring it back to me. I told her where the jar was, and she brought it back without question. She helped me walk to her car, and she drove me to the hospital. That was 8 years ago, and the woman is your mother. I was able to outrun the Watcher many times. It came close to killing me once when I was in the hospital bed, but luckily your mom came in that scared it away. Recently, I've seen the Watcher a lot more in the dark abyss of the alleyway. In the store, looking at me, on buses. I've gotten too scared. I'm as weak as I was 8 years ago, getting pinned down. I decided to finally open the jar and drink what was inside it. Inside was a thick liquid that, when drunk, would slowly eat me from the inside out. It hurt, and I was immediately taken to the hospital where I am now. The doctors don't know what is happening. They think it's a new disease. I know, and now so do you and your mom. I'm telling you this because once you could see beyond the veal, they will hunt you down. Please be safe out there. I don't even want to imagine what they'll do to you. Love, Dad." He ended with a laugh and wiping a single tear on his face. "Love, Dad? Ha! What a frickin' loser. He even admitted he was weak. Well, let's go get some surprises for that birthday boy," he said. He left the room and came back with three horrifying surprises. He had Faith and James tied up to gallows. The other surprise was my mom on a gallows. They were all alive and had bruises all over. He then brought in three other men.
Well, you see, we can't have these things alive now, can we? That would be a liability. Imagine if they started blabbing their mouths. We'd lose money and our reputation. We can't have that. Oh, no, 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 no. No way. I'd get fired. This shit country would get shittier. So, how do we contradict this? By letting the birds fly?
Of course.
Let them rip, boys.
One, he said. And as he said that, the first man pulled the string and up went James.
No, please, I'll do anything, I begged.
Two, he said.
Faith went up next. There goes my two best friends, hanging together in silence while I sat there and wept.
Please, I'll make sure my mom doesn't tell, please, I begged harder.
This time, the pain in my voice now became the real pain in my throat.
And three, he said.
Up went my mom, head lolling the air gone from her throat. Part 4. I began to cry. What else was there to do now?
Oh, quit being such a baby, Preston. Your father used to work for us and did things like this. He was strong, he said.
You're weak, I got through gritting teeth.
Who the hell are you anyways?
Weak? I'm just doing my job, kid. Good mother you had. Very frickin' hot.
Anyway. I suppose I didn't introduce myself, did I? No, I didn't. My name is Blake, and I am so very pleased to meet you, but I do have to kill you, he said. I don't like killing people, but I do very much like money. And if the money tells me to kill you, then I guess that's what I gotta do. Horror. That's the best word I could describe this situation. Horror. I thought that nothing, not even shooting me, would hurt as bad as my mom and friends dying. Cock. The sound of a gun cocking. I turn my head to look at Blake. He doesn't seem human at all in this situation. He doesn't even care that he's going to kill me.
Let's make this nice and fast, he said.
Bang was the last sound I heard. I didn't die, though. I woke up again in the same area I was before, but this time it was as if someone was reflecting it. Where a machine would be to my right was now to the left. I was on the opposite side of the room as well. I should be dead. Why am I alive?
See, we needed to wake you up. Really wake you up this time.
The sound of Blake's cooly voice to my right, where it normally would have been to my left.
What just happened? I asked.
You never died. I had to shoot you to wake you up. Ever seen Inception? Yeah, it's kind of like that. When I shot you in your little headspace, that area died, and therefore you were able to wake up, he said.
Wait, so you mean my friends are still alive, and my mom? I asked in a way too excited voice.
Yep, pretty much, he said.
Why the hell did you do that shit? I nearly screamed.
For testing. See, we're not going to kill them.
Nope. Far from us killing them, exactly.
What do you mean?
Well, we're letting you go. We figured that it's too much work for us to kill you. Instead, we're letting them see the veal and leaving you four in the desert to die, he said.
Oh, don't worry. We'll let you eat and drink in an hour, but after you're done, well, he laughed. Well, you're gonna die at the hands of the Watcher.
He left the room. I sat in the room for silence for just about an hour. I was thinking about how I would survive out in the forest.
Hey, you really want to eat? Someone said.
I looked to where the voice was coming from and saw not Blake, but a lunch lady looking person.
Yeah, I guess so.
I got up and followed her to a completely white room with four chairs. Perfect for the four of us. Faith, James, and my mom were already sitting and eating. I joined them.
in awkward silence for what felt like hours. I just poked at my half-cooked mashed potatoes and peas with gravy. A voice broke the silence.
Eat. They're not going to give us anything later. You need to eat.
My mom's sweet voice.
Yeah, you should probably eat, bro.
James said. Faith, though. Faith stayed silent, looking at me. I felt bad and really wanted to tell her that I was sorry for bringing her into this mess, but I couldn't find the words in my mouth to say it.
Fine, I'll eat, I said.
It was cold and tasted of stale. After about 5 minutes of Faith just staring at me, obviously upset, I was able to find the words.
Listen, Faith, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get any of you into this. If I could go back in time and reverse my being born, I would, but I can't. I'm sorry, I said.
I don't give a crap. In fact, I frickin' wish you were never born.
Yeah, I really frickin' do,
she said, and walked out.
It's not your fault, dude. She's just been really upset recently, James told me.
Yeah, I know, but...
Eat your food. It's going to get cold, and we don't have time for pretty arguments, my mom chimed in. We ate in silence for about 20 minutes, and then the guards called us out. They told us what was going to happen, and that we had to wait here for a couple of minutes for them to find Faith. We waited for about 14 minutes, and they came back with Faith in tears.
Found this chick crying in a room. Funniest crap I'd seen all day,
one of the guards said and forcefully threw her towards us. We walked with the guards to a door, and one of the guards swiped an ID on this weird door unlocking mechanism. We were blasted with a wave of heat in the frickin' dark. We all flinched as the door opened.
If you think that's hot, just wait until morning, the other guard said.
Yeah, you all be scorched, the guard who swiped the ID said.
Well, have fun.
And with that, we were thrown out into the desert to survive on our own. Everyone wanted sleep except me, and to be fair, I was asleep for about 3 days or at least when James and my mom had told me. Faith continued to say nothing. I told them that I would stay awake and make sure nothing happened, and they all agreed to that. Luckily, nothing happened during the entire night, and I somehow fell asleep even though I wasn't tired. I woke up being slightly kicked in the head. I looked up to see Faith, still upset, kicking me. I got up and rubbed the sand off of me.
You know, you could be a little nicer to me, I said rather harshly.
And you could always do your job, but could you do something as easy as that?
No,
she retorted.
What did I do to you? I asked.
You did nothing, all right? I'm upset because of the situation, she replied.
Then why will you talk normally to James and my mom?
Why? I asked.
Because it's not their fault that we're here, but you know whose fault it is. Yours.
My fault? My fault? The only one whose fault it is right now is my dad's. Yeah, my dad who died when I was 6 years old. It's his fault for all this shit, I tell her.
She turns red in the face and limply says that she's sorry.
I'm not mad at you, Faith. In fact, I've been in love with you for the past 7 years.
I would never be mad at you, I said.
Now she really turns red.
Yeah, well, we could talk about that tomorrow, she says and goes to sit down.
As the sun falls and the waning moon arose, I catch something humanoid run past my peripheral vision.
You guys saw that too? I asked and point to where I saw the creature.
No, James said.
Okay, I say.
We continue walking, and then I see the same humanoid figure run past my peripheral vision. I turn my head and see something just behind a bush. The Watcher. I walk over to James and whisper in his ear that we should walk faster. He asks me why, and I tell him to look behind. He sees the Watcher and agrees that we should go. We tell the rest of the group. We start walking at a pace that is neither fast nor slow. I know I shouldn't do it. I really do, but my curiosity is everlasting. I have to look behind me. It'll just be a little peek and nothing more, I tell myself. And so I do. I look behind me for just a second, and relief immediately fills throughout my body. Then confusion. Then horror. What I saw when I turned my head was so terrifying that we began running. What I saw when I turned my head was nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. At first, I was relieved because that meant that nothing was following us. That's when the confusion set in. Why would the creature stop following us? Then I understood. It didn't. My eyes just didn't adjust fast enough when I turned my head, so I wasn't able to see it. The Watcher was running on all fours right at us. Somehow, it made absolutely no noise, but it was running on all frickin' fours. I yell at everyone to run, and run we did. We kept running and running, hoping to find somewhere that we could rest without the Watcher following us. Luckily, there was a big rock that we could hide behind without getting caught. I knew this because I looked back every so often, and the Watcher did slow down its pace, getting tired, it seemed. It was at least 60 yards away from us, and so we were able to get behind the rock. It could be sheer luck that I'm alive, but I think honestly that the Watcher could not see far distances. Anyways, I told them in the quietest voice I could, while at the same time being understood, to try to breathe quieter. We all tried, but Faith was too nervous. I tried to calm her down so she could breathe as quietly as possible, but she just wouldn't listen. I kept trying, and when I heard the same screech I heard so long ago, I knew doom was near. I was going to die. James told them all to get up and run. We ran with no goal or area in mind, but James needed to rest longer, because he was beginning to slow down. Run, run! You're going to die if you don't! I yell at him, seeing the Watcher only about 20 yards away. He continued to try, but the Watcher tried harder. 15 yards. James, you need to run! We'll have to rest afterwards! Faith yells. 10 yards. You could do this, please! I yell. 5 yards. 2 yards. Me and Faith stopped and fell in shock when the Watcher got James. You two need to run as well, my mom said. The tiredness in her voice was very prevalent. It felt as if I couldn't even breathe. The Watcher was shredding into James. It was like a wild animal finally getting to its prey. The screams, though. The screams. That's what haunts me to this day. Somehow, me and Faith mustered up enough strength to pull our eyes away and begin running again. As we ran, we continued to hear the screams. Then all went quiet. James met his final exit. I wanted to stop running. I wanted to stop everything, but I couldn't. We had to continue to run whether I liked it or not. After minutes of running and none of us daring to look back, we actually got out of the desert and into a small town. We went into a gas station and got some food. Then we checked into a crummy motel. But I guess a crummy motel is better than no motel. None of us talked for the rest of the night. Somehow, my mom and Faith were able to find sleep. I, however, could not. I just prayed that the Watcher wouldn't find out where we were staying at. In the morning, my mom drove us back to our house, only stopping to get gas or to use the restroom. But even then, we didn't talk. Luckily, we lived in Nevada, so it wasn't too bad. I wanted to talk to Faith so, so badly. I wanted to tell her how things will be okay and that we'll figure out what to do from here. I even tried to talk to her, but she wouldn't look at me or even respond to any sort of way. We got to our house at 11 p.m., and my mom finally broke the silence once we got in. I can't drive you to your house, Faith. You'll have to stay here for the night, was all she said. All right, was all Faith said. My stomach hurt, but I didn't want to eat. My throat was dry, but I didn't want to drink. My eyes desperately wanted sleep, but I didn't want to sleep. Faith slept in our guest bedroom, and somehow I was actually able to find some sleep. We began the talk again after a month of everything that had went down. It started as small talk, but then it turned into normal talk, and then eventually I got to go out with Faith. After a couple of weeks of going out on dates, we actually decided to get into a relationship. Faith is now my wife, and I have two beautiful daughters. I am terrified for them, though. See, I didn't write these posts just to take down the government or whatsoever. No, I wrote them because a week ago I woke up to a voice. Faint, yes, very faint, almost distant, but I could make out words.
"Your eyes are so beautiful," is what the voice said.
I'm terrified, and Faith knows something is up with me, but I don't want to tell her because I don't want her to worry. I want her to be as calm as she can be. I also don't want to bring back memories of James for her, or any of the other memories of that night. I don't think I can continue living this way. I could hear the voice every night, and every night it gets louder and closer. I bought a Winchester rifle yesterday, and I plan to use it tomorrow. I hope that, in doing this action, my family could live a normal life without having to worry about the Watcher coming for them. I don't want them to have to be inspected by the US government. I don't want them to live a life where death is at every corner. You see, last week, Faith gave birth to our third child. It was another girl, but there was something different about her. She had brilliant sea-green eyes. All the events seemed to be correlated, so I just hope that she could live to be 18+ without the Watcher looming over her. I just want her to grow up and be happy. Before all this happened, I never thought about death. Death, for me, was in the corner of my mind, and every now and then I would think about it, but not for long. Ever since Area 51 and James and the desert, though, death now has become a thought that intrigues me, a thought that becomes bigger and bigger every day. I can't help it. I'm doing exactly what my father did, and I hope this isn't selfish. I'm doing this because I love them, and I'm doing this because I really believe it'll help them in the long run. I know my family will miss me. I know my daughters will grow up without their father, and that's what really pains me. I want to be there to see them grow up, to face challenges of life and overcome them. I want to give them all the hugs and gifts in the world. I want to wake up, eat breakfast with them, and go to work. I guess not everything you want happens, huh? Well, it's been a good 33 years of life. This is Preston, signing off.